Welcome to another edition of the Exponential Podcast. This workshop was recorded at the 2012 Exponential Conference in Orlando, Florida. The Exponential Conference has become the largest gathering of church planting leaders in North America each year, and possibly the world. The conference is held in Orlando, Florida each April. Visit exponentialconference.com for more information. We hope you enjoy this workshop.
Okay, the motivation comes out of a heart for trying to get them to stop long enough to find out who Jesus is, so you can tell them who Jesus is. So it comes down to, number one, the first ingredient to create buzz is your beliefs and in your motivation. Number two is the impact. You want to make an impact. That's what this is all about, is how to best make an impact. It's not about being innovative. It's not about the coolest, hippest advertising. It's about impact and reaching people. And the third one is to speak their language. How do you speak the right language? You need to know pop culture. And this was something that we did that just seemed to work. Rick Warren taught me, try to, when you go into a new community or within the existing community you're in, try and find out what some of the buzzwords are in that community. So in your community, it may be family. Everything may be stressing family. It may be success. I don't know what it is. That's for you to exegete the culture where you're at. The community we went into, the first church, was Palmdale, California. It's the Antelope Valley. It's the northernmost part of Los Angeles, but it's way out there. And at that time, unlike a few years ago, they were building lots of houses, housing tracts everywhere, signs for housing tracts. And so all these people were buying the new homes. We bought our first home. So a lot of people moving in. It was the fastest growing city, under 50,000 in the state of California at the time. And so we did a series called Turning Houses into Homes. And we did a mail out into our community, and we said, well, you can build, we're doing a great job at building a lot of houses, but what's going on inside the homes? That became the key. And then we gave some statistics, and we did the series, and it kind of hit a vein. It might be a buzz of success. What was kind of your situation, Mark?
You mean just in terms of what we found out about our community? One of the things that we just found out about our community is our community, after moving in, tons of firefighters, tons of cops, so my skinny jeans would not work in a place like that because those guys would shoot me. And so a lot of tattoos, a lot of guys kind of tatted up. So in terms of our marketing, we wanted to have kind of a grungier look, kind of a tatted up look, something that wasn't too refined. That was the kind of look in general that we were going for. We also knew that we were going into a place with young families too, and so just going into it, we knew that we had to be extremely kid-friendly. You want to start hitting the notes? Okay. The first thing when it comes to marketing, this is going to sound really simple, but pick the right name. And what we say by pick the right name is this. Pick a name that reflects who it is that you guys are as a church. We didn't want to reach churched people as a church, so we purposefully did not pick a name like First, Shepherd, Blood of the Lamb, Fellowship from God. We did not pick that name. We picked Vantage Point Church. It wasn't a sacred term, but we gave it sacred meaning because we always say at our church that most of life's challenges are seeing circumstances and people from God's vantage point and not our vantage point. That if we could see from God's perspective, that we would have a totally different view on life. And so the first thing that I think you can do is pick the right name. Pick the name that reflects you. Pick the name that reflects your vision. Pick the name that reflects your identity as a church.
And hopefully it's a positive name. Sometimes it's neutral. People aren't going to wake up on Sunday morning and go, oh, honey, what a great name, Vantage Point Church. Let's go to that church. But they're also, are they? No, it's not a dig. It's not a dig at all. But they're also not going to say, oh, honey, let's not go to Vantage Point Church. If it had a denominational title in it or something like Mark was sharing, they might. So it's a neutral name. I like names that can be known by one word. The first church we started was called Harvest Community Church. People just referred to it as Harvest. The second church we started was Sunrise, S-O-N-R-I-S-E. We made up a name, Sunrise, referring to Jesus, but it was just known as Sunrise. Their church is just known as Vantage Point. you know, that's the Vantage Point Church. And so pick a name that's kind of neutral in that. And then second, use an appealing communication style. So this is where you're getting into logos, color schemes, something. When we went up, Mark, the second church we started was in the Sacramento area, and I'm a Laker fan now. I have always have been, but went up there, went in Rome, right? So I became a Sacramento Kings fan, and so, yeah. And we used the Kings color for our logo in our church, which was the purple and the black. But some kind of logo, nice color scheme. And just a word to the wise, use professionals for this. You may be pretty good. You know, I dabble in graphic art. It's a hobby, but I'm not a professional. And so it's worth the money. Hire a professional who helps you create this concept, the logo, and your advertising and color schemes.
Yeah, I would say not only hire a professional for your logo, but hire a professional to help you with a lot of your communication pieces in general. Well, your most important communication pieces. Because when you begin to, let's say, send out flyers or print out cards, invite cards, or establish a website or anything like that, what you want to be able to do is you want to be able to create this initial impression. I love the word that you use, resume of who you are. And so what you don't want is nice Aunt Sally putting her clip art of the stick figure on your stuff, because you don't want someone to look at your promotional piece and go, oh, I know exactly how they did that. They went on Word, they got this clip art, they stuck it right there. Because your piece is going to say a lot about who you are, a ton about who you are, and it's going to be able to appeal to who it is that you want to appeal to.
And one common mistake, I've seen a lot of pastors and church planners fall into this. Somebody in their church, somebody in the core group says, oh, I'm a graphic artist. And they work another job, or sometimes they actually are freelancing and full-time freelancing. But there's a big difference between a graphic artist and a great graphic artist. Get a great graphic artist. And when they say, oh, I'll do it for free, that's usually a red flag. Watch out. Thank you, but you know we're going to go with this person, and then you're under. When you're not paying them, then you have the timeline issue. They can try and fit it in, and you're usually time sensitive in what you're doing. So we just say, I mean, here's an example of one. This was a mail out that Mark did from a graphic artist. The quality that you see. You don't have to say on something like this, we're a contemporary church, we're this, we're that. The excellence of the piece shows it itself. So get somebody who's really good. They hired somebody right out of the blocks. Yeah. I mean, hired from the beginning. We hired somebody from the beginning. It's money well spent.
And this is how we came up on our graphic artist. One of the things that I was doing, guys, and since you guys are planning churches, you're probably thinking, I just don't have the money to hire a graphic artist. Well, money follows vision. And so what you have to think about is what's best for my church and not necessarily what's possible or what can we capably do. How are we going to go out and reach people? What's the vision that we have? So one of the things that I did was that you don't have to pay for everything. I started going to large churches and I started, you know, making my pitch, giving my master plan, presenting my perspectives, asking for prayer, but then after that, asking for money or asking for services. I don't know if anybody's trained you on that so far. Not only did I make a pitch for money, but I also made a pitch for services. Okay, your missions budget is out of money. Okay, I've heard that one before. So is there anyone, do you have a graphic artist, and would your graphic artist be willing to put some promotional pieces together for me? And so I came on this guy because a mega church in our area had was using this guy. And so in the beginning, they paid for our first couple things, and we just started to use them after that. You know, and back to the whole, like, somebody in your church coming up to you, we had such a nightmare in the beginning just because someone on my transitionary board came up to me, and he was like, oh, Mark, I'm so excited about the church plan. I put together websites. They're worth over $100,000, and I was so excited. That's so awesome. And then it was horrible, and it was moving slowly. And so someone on my board, I had to let him go. I had to say, you know what, Bruce, that's great. However, we're going to have to move in a different direction. Even if you have people in power, even if you're going in a certain direction, if you feel like something's not happening and something's not happening right and something's not happening according to your vision, you got to have the guts to be able to put the brakes on something and say, hey, you know, we're just going to do something different.
If you can't find somebody, email me or Mark. You can get our email from this site or our contact information from the site. We would be glad to share. We have friends that do this, that are professionals at this, help churches all over the country. Next is number three, use the newspaper, press releases, and advertising. So most guys don't use the newspaper so much because a lot of people don't subscribe to the newspaper. If you can get on the online edition, that's good, but learn to write press releases. Learn to write news releases. And if you are starting a church and you're using a preview method, which we teach, monthly services leading up to the grand opening, that's a novelty thing. And so you can write a little piece, like 250 words, 500 words, to your newspaper and give that to them and make it a press release. New church uses contemporary grand opening methods or something like that. And a lot of times they will run it. Sometimes they'll edit it. Sometimes they'll run it just as it is. So learn to write a news release, something interesting. Tell a story about somebody in your church. Mark had a lot of stories. They did an article on Mark's church right when it began. They did an article on our church before it even began with this whole idea.
I think the newspaper is great. I would not pay for newspaper marketing. But what we usually do is this. Anytime we do an outreach project, we send out something to the presses. Anytime we do something noteworthy, we send a press release out to the presses. This challenges our outreach ideas, in fact. Because every time we do something, let's say we go out and do a car wash, we know that the press isn't going to pick up on that because, big deal, you're doing a car wash. Now, what that forces us to do is that forces us to be incredibly creative with our outreach projects, too. Because now the grid through which we filter our outreach projects is it noteworthy? Is it newsworthy? Is it that original of an idea? So we still do car washes and stuff like that. But now what we do is we don't just do Easter egg hunts, but we do Easter egg hunts with a special section for special needs. All of a sudden, that begins to draw on a heartstring, and the presses want to pick up on something like that. When the school year starts up, we get backpacks, and we fill them with school supplies, and we give them out to the kids who are in the lunch program. You know, all of a sudden, the newspapers want to pick up on something like that. And what we do, too, is we look for the story behind the story. About 2 months ago, we had Bethany Hamilton, the soul surfer. You guys know who she is? Yeah, arm bit off by a shark. We had Bethany Hamilton come out to our church, and we knew that if we sent something out to the presses just saying that Bethany Hamilton's coming out to our church, that we would just get one line on the calendar section. You know what I'm saying? Vantage Point Church has Bethany Hamilton coming out at these service times. We didn't want that. We wanted a full article. We wanted multiple articles to come out on what was going on, but we didn't want to pay for it through the newspaper. So what we did was we looked for the story behind the story. And what I mean by that is this. We were contacted by the mom of an 8-year-old girl who was suffering from Batten disease. 8 years old, she's already blind. The typical lifespan of a child with Batten disease is 20 years. And so she said, we know it's going to be a crowded event. Can we come to it? Do we need tickets? Do we need to buy anything? Are we going to be able to have a seat? Are we going to be able to meet her? And there was going to be no meet and greet with Bethany Hamilton just because it was just going to be an absolute zoo. And so what we did is we said no to a lot of those things, but we said, let me tell you what we can do. We're going to fly you down. We're going to put you in a hotel. We're going to partner with the Make-A-Wish Foundation so that you guys can get in Disneyland all day long and see some of these private events. They got to the front of every Disneyland line. On Sunday morning, she got a private breakfast with Bethany Hamilton. And what we did was we send the presses the story behind the story. In order to market Bethany Hamilton, we told them the story of Sophia Martinez. And that's the story that they wanted to pick up on. So we got multiple stories coming out about that. So try and find the story behind the story.
And that's so smart because Bethany Hamilton's not going to be there the next week, but the church is. And it told the story of the church and their compassion to this little 8-year-old girl. And then when Mark had Bethany, he didn't just have Bethany speak. She's actually kind of shy, but she's good when you interview her and bring that out. So Mark interviewed her during the service, and it went just extremely well. So use newspaper press releases. Number four, give your launch team printed invite cards and flyers. So here's an example of a printed invite card. This is just a little business size card that folds in half. It's very well done. This one it was actually an invite to Christmas Eve services. And then on the inside, it has a little map, tells the name of the series, gives a promise on the back. These are things people can put in their pocket. These are things they can just kind of hand out. The other thing we do is a lot of times on these type things, we will print up, when we do a direct mailing, we'll print up a few hundred, or now when the churches get larger, a few thousand of these, so that people can give them out. Even though people are going to be getting them in their mailbox, if you saturate a whole zip code, still, when they get one from somebody else who's their friend at work who hands this to them, it just is so powerful. So you want to use those. And then make sure everything has website and contact information. So when you're advertising, it doesn't matter what form you're using, you're trying to drive them to your website. Your website becomes the key. Out of everything, I think the website is the most important marketing tool you have. They have done studies and found that 90% of people will visit your website before they ever visit your church. So do you see how huge that becomes? I don't care if you're a new church, you're an existing church. And even somebody like my friend Larry Osborne, Larry would say, we don't advertise with paid advertising. We don't use that. If you ask him about it, he says, I'm not opposed to it. I think it can be a good thing. We just have chosen to just do word of mouth. But if you go to North Coast's website, that website is killer website, interactive, unbelievable. Mark Driscoll, Marshall Church, Seattle, they don't do any kind of advertising mail out. You go to the website, they spent tens of thousands of dollars on the website. Beautiful video, beautiful interaction on the website. And so get yourself, make sure you get a great website. Again, get somebody who's a professional who does it. Look at other websites. Go down on the bottom, click and see who the designer of that website is and contact them. So do the website. One last thing I want to share with this, we didn't share in the other one. Was, let's say you're doing a series, and you're doing a series on parenthood, okay? So you're doing a series on parenthood, and you're calling it raising G-rated kids in an X-rated world. Okay, there's a title for you. One thing that some guys have done recently that's been very effective is they'll get a URL, so they'll go to GoDaddy or another carrier, and they'll get raisinggratedkids.com or raisinggratedkidsinxratedworld.com. You know, $7-$8. So they get that. Then they build on that just a little website about the series. Everything that's in the series, the messages, the title, the date when that is, and they'll talk about that. They'll make a description. They'll talk about it, maybe have a little video of the pastor describing what the new series is about, maybe even a testimony. And then somewhere down at the bottom, there's a link to their main church website. And so that then drives them to the main church website. And for certain, you may not want to do this for every series, but for big series you do, maybe at Easter, Christmas Eve, a Friends Day, whatever, that has been a great way to market and to get the word out, drives them, and they see what the series is.
Yeah, and even back to the invite, the whole using the cards as invite tools, that's key, because one of the things that you want to do is you want to leverage the relationships that people have on your launch team. And so here's just like a kind of a quick nuts and bolts thing that we did. Before each of our preview services, the week before each of our preview services, what we did is we did two different things. We did not just hand people cards and go, hey, here's a card, why don't you go invite your friend? What we wanted to do is we wanted to cast vision for these cards. So what we would do is we'd give everybody a couple cards. We'd make them write their names down on it. And we were like, hey, everybody, why don't you all stand up? Why don't you put your cards up in the air? What we're going to do is we're going to pray for these cards, because these cards aren't just cards, everybody. These cards are going to have an opportunity to change someone's life. It's going to have the opportunity to change the trajectory of someone's life if they can come, if they can hear the gospel, and if they can be able to respond to something like that. So everybody, don't just think this is a small thing. What we're going to do is we're really going to reach our friends and neighbors with the gospel for this, because maybe there's something going on in their life that you don't understand. So what we try and set the stage for them. We try and raise the evangelistic temperature. Not only did we pass out cards, but one of the things that we did right before each preview service and before each before our grand opening, we had something called texting parties. So what we would do after our servant evangelism project, and we're going to talk to you about that in a little bit, we'd all come back to my place, we'd all have pizza, we'd have the game on. But then what people would do is everyone would be sitting around, and we would purposefully, during that time, be texting our friends and family about the service that was coming up. Because the longer it goes between the call and the action point, the less likely that that action will get done. Do you know where I'm going with that? If the call is made, invite your neighbors, invite your neighbors, invite your neighbors, here's a card to do it, odds are it's probably going to take them at least, 3-5 days to get that action point done. And the further that action point is from the call, the less likely it is to get done. So what we did this at our 900-person church the week before Easter. We said to everybody, we just preached on evangelism. Everybody stand up. Everybody pull out your phone. You got a phone? Text that one person right now. And people were like, oh, you're going to call us on this right now, aren't you? They're feeling it. God is speaking to them. So we try and strike while the evangelistic temperature is hot.
Yeah, and this really is about reaching people in evangelism. And the texting party is a great thing. You can do that with email, too. You can have them email their friends. And this is where the holistic part comes in, and where you involve the synergism and you actually start praying for these people, praying that God would prepare their hearts as they receive these pieces, as they get these in the mail. And it's amazing, you guys, when people get these and they'll come to church and they'll say, I was just considering God and this came in the mail. Or we had this tragedy and we didn't know what to do and we just felt this was hope for us and so we came. And so just the personal stories that come out of that, and God uses that. Billy Graham used to do a thing called Operation Andrew. This is how they get people to come to their crusades. And it was a story of Andrew bringing his brother, Simon Peter, to Jesus. So they would ask for people to pray for three people who didn't know Christ. And so what we would do in combining with this is we would ask for people to give us names of three people. Not their Aunt Mary who lives out in Ohio, but people right around them, unchurched friends of theirs that we could pray for. And they would list them on a card. They can put it on the back of the welcome card, and they'd turn that in. And then we were praying for those three friends from each person they give. We were praying for them by name. So you have the spiritual element of the prayer and asking God for these people. You're putting advertising out. You're putting this out into the mail. You have the synergism. You start hearing the stories, and it really starts to roll. So the key is, number five, is use a variety of advertising. We've talked about different ads. Some churches have used billboards. Billboards can be effective. The problem with billboards is they usually want a commitment of 6 months or a year. If they're desperate and nothing's gone up in a while, they may give you a month or two, and that can be really helpful going into a grand opening or a special series or something like that. The flyers, the mailouts, again, everything's driving that to the website. And we're going to talk about Facebook, too. Facebook, pay-per-click, a lot of different social media you can do as well. But let's start with, we want to start with direct mail. So we're going to go into direct mail, give you some advantages of using direct mail. This would be an example of a direct mail piece. This would be another example of a direct mail piece. This was on a marriage series called Happily Ever After, Making Love Work for You. This was done at Vantage Point. Very, very nice piece. Here's some of the advantages. Number one, it's a fast way for those whom the Holy Spirit has prepared. So God's preparing their hearts, and this is a fast way to reach them and get at them. Number two, it creates a networking effect among family members and friends. They're starting to talk about this. Let's say, what's your name? Jace. Jace. Okay, so Jace gets it. Let's say Jace is 75 years old, okay? He doesn't look a day over 30, but let's say he's 75 years old. And Jake gets this in the mail, okay? So this comes, Jake looks at that. He's 75, and he says, wow, I wish I had this, 60 years ago or something like that, maybe 50 years ago. But Jake gets that in the mail. I'm not good at math. But Jake gets that in the mail, and so he says, well, I'm not going to go. I've got my own church. But I've got this 21-year-old daughter, and, man, this would be great for her. Honey, he calls her up, honey, there's this new church in town, and they're doing this special marriage series called Happily Ever After. I think you should check it out. You know how you were wanting to get in a church? This looks like a good one. Why don't you check this out? And so she goes. So what it becomes is this shotgun approach versus a rifle approach. Now, you can do a rifle approach. You can say, well, our target's 18 to 35 with 2.2 kids and an annual income of whatever. And you can do demographic work, and you can get those zip codes, and you can mail just to that pocket. But I think, especially at the beginning, it's much more effective to do the shotgun approach to get it out there, because there is that kind of networking that goes on.
It's so funny, because with that promotional piece in general, this promotional piece was probably our most effective in the 4 years that we've been alive as a church. And I hated it in the beginning. And my partner, my worship pastor, we hated it. We were like, oh, that is just disgusting. Yeah, it was too cheesy for us. We're a very manly church. The music is loud, and we're just sarcastic and crazy and everything like that. But the women on our staff, they were like, oh, I love it. That looks fantastic. And so we're like, okay, let's go ahead and try it. But then, you know, with a marriage series, who's the one that wants to come to something like that? It's the ladies. So that ended up being a great piece. Here's one thing that it touches. I'm going to skip that one. That it touches many people that your members don't know. That your promotional piece, especially in the area of direct mail, can touch people that your launch team doesn't know. And I was telling you a little bit about our story as a church. You know, we had 25 people, 20 of which didn't live in the area, and we really felt like God had called us to reach a particular city. So we just did not have the relational network in that particular city to pull off the kind of launch that we wanted. We wanted to launch somewhere between 200 to 250, and we just did not have the relational networks to do something like that. So we said, okay, guys, we're going to raise some money. We're going to do this. We're going to send out, I think, there are 15,000 rooftops in our area, so we decided to send out a 15,000-piece mailer. You know, we tightened our belts. It was like, what, $2,000 or something like that. But, I mean, it really worked for us just because we didn't have the relational networks. And it's crazy what God does. Because at our first preview service, you know, this older lady came into our church. You know, she showed me our own promotional piece, and I was like, oh, yeah, that looks nice. And she was like, when I got this, I knew that this is the church that I'd been praying about for the past couple years. And I was like, really? Because it's just a card. But then I just thought, it's amazing just the different things that God uses and the different ways that God speaks. It's amazing that, you know, just our little idea on paper, that our little vision on paper communicated something to that lady. And she was like, that's the church that I've been waiting for.
Yeah, a lot of times people say, well, you know, direct mail doesn't work in our community. And I say, really? And we tried it once. And I'll say, well, show me what you tried. And they'll show me a piece. And that piece will be what I call ain't we something thinking in terms of the church. We're the greatest church. We've got this program. We got that program. And it's all about the church. The piece, when you do it, should be all about them. They're thinking, what's in it for me? That's where they're coming from, right or wrong. It's not a value. That's just where they're at. So what drives the piece is the series. It's the message. It's the added value. How are you going to add value to their life? Whether they're a Christian or not, how is this going to affect them? How is this going to help their family? How is this going to help them in their personal life? So that's what it becomes. And I want to say one of the things, too, is that we found if done right, it's very cost-effective in gathering people. Very cost-effective. You say, well, let's say Mark spent $2,000 or $3,000 and mailed it out to 15,000. And about how many did you get from that mail out?
They say that you should get a 0.5%, but we typically get anywhere between, like, what, 0.1% and 0.2%. Now, that doesn't sound like much. However, if you're sending out a 20,000-piece mailer, and let's say you get 20 to 40 people, I mean, wow, when you're starting out with 25 people, like, That's double. I'll take 20 more people any day.
In a very good effective one, you could get 0.05%. So if you do the math, if you sent out 15,000, 10%, a tenth would be about 150. So a 0.5 would be actually 75 people. So let's say 75 people come from this that they mail out. And let's be conservative. Let's say five families stick out of that 75. And let's say two of those families become tithers. Oh boy, that's exciting, isn't it? So now they're tithing, and I mean, literally, you've taught them, they've come to Christ, they start tithing within that year. Now their tithe is going to double or triple pay for what this piece cost. Do you see how it can be cost effective? Very cost effective in a very short amount of time.
Another point is that it has staying power. A lot of times when people get a card or when you give somebody a card, a lot of times what they'll do is, you know, they'll keep it for a while. We encourage people to keep a stack on their desk at work or to keep them at home and kind of put it up on their fridge so that other people will see them. And so these cards aren't necessarily like a TV commercial. Some people go to Faith Highway or something like that and they get TV commercials. One of the things that we did was we went into the local movie theaters and we did a series of commercials. We didn't like that too much just because it played like, I don't know, 2 hours before the movie started and nobody ever saw it. So, but it's not like a commercial where 30 seconds later it's vaporized into thin air. This has a little bit more staying power.
And with that staying power, people get these, and it's not like telemarketing where you call them on the phone. How many like telemarketing? Nobody. And so this, they can pick and choose when they want to read it. If it's interesting, it's got to grab them right away, or it goes into the circular file. But what people will do, we actually had people who tell me, Pastor Dave, we put this up on our refrigerator. So they put the magnet up there because the series is coming. We like to get it into their hands about 10 days before the event. So we'd mail it out so that it would arrive about 9 or 10 days before the actual event. They'd put it on the refrigerator. Some of them would actually file it in their file cabinet in their home office. And they said, well, we're not going to go to church now, but if we ever do, we're going to keep this because this is the kind of church we want to go to. Amazing. And then my favorite were these guys that would come and they would get this and they would call the office. We a lot of different calls. This is how you know you're reaching unchurched people. They'd say, how much does the seminar cost? And or what? And they said, the seminar, the Happily Ever After seminar. Oh, that's a series. It doesn't cost anything. It's free. We do a free will love offering or an offering each week, but you don't have to give to that. It's free. So they're like, okay, great, you know. And then people actually, we saw this, people actually come and they got this in hand and they're kind of walking into the church like this is their ticket in and they got it in the hand. And it's just an amazing thing that happens. So there's amazing staying power with these things. And number six, it quickly identifies and positions the church in the community. It shows who you are. It shows what you value. With all the noise out there, you're getting to tell them who you are, what you value, and what you're doing. Okay, we're going to go into just a few disadvantages. Mark, we're just going to do this real quick because I want to get to the social networking and to the servant evangelism. So here's just some disadvantages. I'll just fly through these, and then I want Mark to talk about his servant evangelism that they've been doing. You can depend on it too much. So you know you're just using this over and over. Again, the key, this is like a turbo to spark word of mouth. You don't want to depend on the mail out. You don't need to do a mail out for every series you do. A lot of people are like, oh, I can't afford this. We would only do these about two or three times a year. Two or three times a year. The Easter series, maybe at Christmas Eve, maybe a big fall series we would do. But two or three times a year, every year, it became consistent. And people would actually look forward to getting these and seeing what the new series was and inviting their friends. And so you don't want to depend on it too much. It can be used as an excuse for not inviting friends. You don't want that to happen. Direct mail is less effective if there's a whole bunch of other churches in your city that are saturated with it. However, I would say look at what they're doing And if they're not quality, there's still room for more if you do it in a quality with excellence. And then direct mail, okay. Then principles to make marketing more effective, have an attention grabber, appeal to the felt needs, we said, avoid ain't we something advertising, do it with excellence, use a variety of different types of advertising, make it an event. There's always a time-sensitive event that you're inviting them to. Mark didn't do it on this one, but a lot of times I would even say, I want to personally invite you to our new series, blah, blah, blah. You know, sign Pastor Dave Page, that kind of thing. And then number eight, make it easy to read and understand. This is a good mail out. See the beautiful artwork and then see the back? You can read that. The key with the direct mail is they should be able to read it within a few seconds. I can get the gist of what this is about on the front or back within a few seconds. It has a map on it, so it leads me. It has the website. It has a phone number if I want more information. All of that is the key. And one of the keys, too, is the white space. In advertising, they'll tell you this is very important in marketing. See all the white space? It's not all jumbled words. Oh, but I have so much to say. You need to edit it down. So there's a lot of white space, so it's very easy to read, simple, a beautiful piece. All right, let's go into servant evangelism, Mark. How you use servant evangelism as part of your marketing plan.
Yeah, the old marketing adage goes something like this. Don't put all your eggs in one marketing basket. Like, the people who use direct mail and don't use it well are the people who rely too heavily on it. And that's the only marketing thing that they have. One of the things that's really near and dear to our church's heart is something called servant evangelism. I picked up a book called Conspiracy of Kindness by Steve Shogren. And that really kind of taught me some things about evangelism that I didn't really know before. And that is this. Servant evangelism is about going out into your community and doing an act of kindness for somebody in that community to show God's love in a tangible way. And so what we did, we'll get into more ideas, but we'll wash cars, we'll go out and mow people's lawns, we'll haul junk to the dumpster to them for free, we'll put up their Christmas lights, we'll take down their Christmas lights for them. We'll do all of these different things in order to serve our community with God's love in a tangible way. One of the things that really excited me about this whole thing wasn't just because our members didn't live in the community and we wanted to make sure and get word out. It wasn't just that. One of the things that really excited me was during the whole launch team process, it was all theory. It was all locker room talk. We were only talking about, okay, this is who we are as a church. We're going to reach people from the outside in, and this is our children's ministry, and this is what's at stake for the church. Okay, are you guys excited? You know, and there'd be a limited, I mean, people would be excited about that, but what excited them more was actually being able to take those plays and take them out to the field. So before we ever had someone change a diaper, before we ever had someone set up a truss or a light or anything like that, we had people out into the community doing tangible acts of kindness before every preview service and before the grand opening. Before our first preview service, we had 5 continuous weeks of servant evangelism that we called the August Project, where every weekend we hit the streets, we hit the streets, we hit the streets. We would do it before every preview service. We did it for the 4 weeks before our grand opening. We created buzz. We created buzz. We created buzz. Let me tell you what's great about servant evangelism. The first thing is that it's biblical. When your people are serving, then they are acting like Christ. Mike Bodine, the executive pastor over at Central Christian, this isn't an original thought, but this is something that he shared with our team. And he said that a non-serving Christian is an oxymoron, right? I mean, to serve is to be like Christ. The second one is this, that there's a wow factor to it, that people are your best advertising. Can I tell you this? Here's the crazy thing about advertising. Advertising is all smoke and mirrors. A graphic artist with a skill to do something can paint your church in a way that it isn't, and it can paint your church in a way that it is. Someone's going to look at this piece, and they're going to go, wow, that's a great piece. But here's what they're also wondering. They're wondering, is there anyone at that church that looks like me? Because people attract people. And so when our promotional piece hit and we were going out into the community doing all of these different things, people were looking out on the street corners and they were seeing, wow, there's like this whole mob of people right there. That seems kind of fun. That seems kind of different. And they get to talk to somebody on the street corner and they're like, wow, these Christians don't seem like freaks. They seem normal. They seem nice. They seem like me. People are your best advertising. It's easy. Anyone can do it. You don't have to be trained in the four spiritual laws. You don't have to know the Roman road. You don't have to have the courage to approach somebody about, hey, do you know about this guy named Jesus? You don't have to be an apologetics expert. You don't have to do any of those things. All you have to do is have a heart for the Lord and have a heart to serve and be a nice person.
And there's a lot of ways to do this, from an Easter egg hunt to a trunk and treat. We don't have time to go into all of these, Mark. From a gas buy down, which is huge today with the gas prices, something if you're in a school to bless the teachers, the administration of the school, projects at the school, all kinds of things to do. But this is my favorite one, Mark. I really like this one. This is a card here, and it says, "This one's on us." Just a simple way of saying, "God loves you." And it has the website of the church, Vantage Point Church. And it has a coffee cup, a la Starbucks, but on the coffee cup it says Vantage Point Church. And then it has the real message on the back. Tell them how you use these.
Well, one of the things that we did was we encouraged people that when they're going to Starbucks, that what they can do is, in particular through the drive-thru, but people have always also done this walking in, that we encourage people to take one of these cards and to ask the teller or the cashier or whoever it is taking their order, can I pay for the person behind me, and would you be willing to give them this card? We don't do it unless they give them the card. But nobody's ever said no. And they're like, oh, sure, that's fantastic. So we encourage our people to pay for the person behind them. Then they get this little card, and it says, you don't know me, but I just paid for your order. No gimmicks, no strings. It's just a random act of kindness. Maybe you'll feel like passing this on and be blessed as you bless others. I hope this encourages you today. Sign the stranger in the car in front of you, you know, and it's got Vantage Point Church on it. One of the things that was cool was that we heard that we have a daughter of someone in our church that actually works at the only Starbucks in our town. Our town is like really small. But we heard that someone had done this in our church, and not only did they pay for the person behind them, but it set off a chain reaction of they counted 35 different cars paying for the car behind them. So that was actually kind of cool.
What a great deal, huh? So when I go visit Mark out in Eastvale, I look for cars that have the Vantage Point bumper sticker, and I follow them into Starbucks, and it's just a great, great time. So when to do this, a great thing about this, you can do it any time, but you can also be strategic in the servant evangelism and do it at the special times before either a preview or a launch or a big day. You set a big day for your church. Great time to do a servant evangelism. Okay, we'd want to hit just now, Mark, lastly, on electronic marketing, some of the social media. So why don't you kick us off with that?
Yeah, I think, if you're not using Facebook as a person, you're behind the times. But if you're not using Facebook as a church, I mean, Facebook is such a huge... Facebook, I think we all know this, is an absolute game changer in terms of marketing. Because what we talked about before is you want to use free stuff before you use paid stuff. And so one of the things that we'll do, this is, I know that we only have 5 minutes, so we're going to go ahead and I'm going to give you just a couple, like, real nuts and bolts thing that we do at our church. We don't... Whenever we have anything that's like event-based, like an Easter egg hunt, or even a service that's worth coming to, like our 9/11 memorial service or something like that, what we'll do is we'll create an event for everything. You know what I'm talking about? We'll create an event for that one day, and we'll have everyone in our church share it. And when you begin to have a culture of people sharing and sharing and sharing, and one of the things that we do too is we typically even have an action point somewhere in there where we encourage people, share this, click share, click like, click this, click that. I mean, I don't know if your church is naturally responsive where you don't have to tell people to raise their hands or to do, you know, my church isn't like that. You have to solicit response in order to get response. And so So we have the same mentality when it comes to Facebook. We ask people to comment. We ask people to click. We ask people to share right there on the line. So that's one of the things we do. We create an event for everything. One of the things that we also do is for our 9/11 service, like I said, our city has tons of cops and firefighters in it. So we knew that we could capture kind of this on the 10th anniversary of 9/11. It wasn't on our preaching calendar or anything like that, but we knew that we could strike with something like that, with the 10th anniversary of 9/11 coming up. So one of the things that we did was we created our own commercial via Facebook. What we did was we bought a little video off of Worship House Media. You know how Worship House Media, like, there are Christian videos out there everywhere. You know, for Easter, for 9/11, for anything for you to show in your service. One of the things that we do is we edit that down to like a 30-second clip. And then at the end of it, we go ahead and edit in our information, Vantage Point Church, you know, meets at the school. So we use somebody else's stuff, but we added our information at the end, and we had people share it. And if it's a good commercial piece, man, people will share it, they will share it, they will share it. And that's one of the real keys. Like, we had Lisa Welchel, you remember Blair from Facts of Life? We had her come to our church, and so the staff did a music video, and I dressed up like Run DMC and everybody, and we all did a music video to It's Tricky. You remember that song? And then we just said, Vantage Point Church, Lisa Welchel, 80s, you know, she's coming. And people thought it was like the funniest thing. And if it's good, it doesn't have to be excellent. But if it's a good idea, you know, those YouTube videos, they're not excellent, but, oh, they're funny. If you just have a funny idea or a captivating idea, you can turn that into a semi-viral video.
And there's all kinds of electronic marketing you can use. You have to pick your favorite one. Blogs can be helpful, too, if you're blogging, creating an email marketing through Constant Contact, Eye Contact, all of that. When you do that, the subject line is critical for the emailing. If you want to get, in terms of your website, so you're high up on Google, the SEO, search engine optimization guidelines focus on one thing, and that's content. So you've always got to be giving fresh content. So this is where a blog can be very helpful, that's connected to your website. You as a pastor writing a blog, maybe having guest bloggers on your blog, that type of thing. But the website's really key. And to me, Facebook is just so far out there. You know, it may have peaked, it may not, who knows. But that is what everybody seems to be using now. Twitter's great, too, and you can get little messages on Twitter, and you can do both, you know, put messages on both. They're doing things now. There's companies that are making particular church websites on Facebook, so it's like a website, not just the one, the account that Facebook gives you that you can sign your church up, but the fan page, but where you actually have a video on there introducing right in the middle section. The left section you can't touch. The right section, you know, is all advertising, but that whole middle section. So there are companies doing that. I know a couple churches that are doing that, and that's been really, really effective. So, yeah, let's start. We just have a couple minutes. We'll take a couple questions, and then we know you got to leave at 9:30, but we will stick around afterwards if you want to come up and ask us questions. First one, yeah. There's a lot of them. You said two wonderful ones, churchplantmedia.com, Clover sites. Problem with Clover is that last I checked, it's a flash site. When flash sites can be wonderful, except you can't pull it up on your iPad and iPhone. I don't know about you. I use my iPad more than I use my laptop or my iMac at home. So you have to watch that. Plain Jane Studios, there's a lot of really good ones. Do your research, find out which ones you like, and just go in the bottom and see who created it, who did that design. Yeah, over here. Yes. Yeah, this is a size we decided on and we've been using and a lot of our church plants use. This is a 5.5 by 11. 11 high, 5.5 across. The reason, or actually the other way around, it's 11 wide and 5.5 vertically. The reason why, this is the largest you can do with and still get the postcard rate. you got a real advantage as a nonprofit corporation, as a church, to mail these out for half as much as a corporation pays. So take advantage of that, and this is the largest size you can do. And this doesn't get lost so much like a little postcard would get lost in the mail.
Because think about it too, your dentist will send you this. Your dentist will send you this, but you know, Bed Bath & Beyond will send you this. So you need to kind of communicate in a way that people understand.
Yes, Google has advertising. It can be costly. It's a pay-per-click, but you can decide how much you want to pay. And if you get a lot of responses from it, then you can up that. You can start it, stop it, up it, down, whenever you want to do that. But that can be very effective. A lot of churches are using that, and parachurch ministries are using that.
And just real quick, too, I think one of the more effective ways of advertising through Facebook is you can advertise to the friends of the fans on your page. You can even do it like that instead of going through a radius or a city or anything like that. I think that's the most effective way of doing it. Pay-per-click, one of the things that you have to watch out for is if you have enemies, then they will click knowing that, and they'll click, and they'll click, and they'll click, and they'll use up all your clicks. Do you see what I'm saying? If they're people who don't like who you are, then they can go on your Facebook thing and use it all up.
Who would do that, Mark?
I mean, we don't.
Do you sit around doing that with the other churches in Eastvale? Hey, we need to stop. Thank you, guys. We hope this has been helpful. We will stick around. And so if you have any other questions, just come on up.